The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, I don't say this every day. What we're going to talk about today is very important. In fact, I can't think of anything much more important than what I'm going to talk about today. And I would like to tell you up front, this is important. I'd like you to share this video with anyone you can conceivably share it with. The powers that be in the strange world in which we live are suppressing these kinds of conversations. That's at least unhealthy, if not deeply sick. But my conversation today is about the possibility of election fraud in the United States of America in the last presidential election. I have as my guest Patrick Byrne, a storied fellow, former CEO of Overstock.com, a wealthy man who doesn't need to do this to make a few bucks selling books. Nonetheless, he's written a book called The Deep Rig. Get it? The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald J. Trump the White House. And even in the subtitle, Patrick Byrne lets us know this book is by a man who did not vote for Trump. He always votes libertarian. And here we are. Patrick Byrne, welcome to this program.
What an honor to be on with you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
You're very generous to say that. Listen, anybody who cares about the Republic, who cares about freedom, I mean, there are people of faith who care about this. There are people of no faith who care about this. We all together have this belief that freedom and self-government, the American model, is not only a wonderful thing, but an exceedingly rare thing. And the danger that we might lose it, as it seems to me we are losing it now, is one that drives us all to shoot up the flares and scream and say, what can we do? What can we do? So you have written a book. You've been in the middle of this. For my audience that doesn't know you at all, frame this for us, how you got involved in this relationship with Sidney Powell, or whatever you'd like to say.
Well, I got involved in this starting in August of last year. I was actually directed by somebody quite close to me late July of last year, who told me he really wanted me to get involved in the issue of election fraud and start working with some people in Texas who were investigating some cybersecurity people in Texas who were digging into the possibility of a mass election fraud. And he happened to die the next day. I promised him I would do it. And he happened to be killed in an accident the next day. And so I met at his funeral. I met the people of whom he had spoken and started going down to Texas and hanging out with them and hanging out with these cybersecurity people who I call dolphin speakers and such. And they had been on the case for about 2 years, digging into the possibility of election fraud, because in 2018, there were some irregularities in the Dallas election. But the truth is, anyone who's been paying attention for about 15 years, there have been more and more rumors reaching me about the way fraud occurs at retail level. There's much more retail level, voter fraud at that level than people want to acknowledge. But even at wholesale level, for the last 15 years, I've been hearing weird stories from both sides. But what I became aware of last summer started sounding like industrial level election fraud. So I really dug in on the issue starting then.
Now let's leap in just to the headline, and then we'll go backwards. The book is called The Deep Rig. So obviously the implication is that the election was rigged. And you yourself firmly believe that Trump actually did win the election. Is that true or false?
Oh, yeah, there's really no question in my mind. It looks to me like I think he got about, well, one scientist who's involved in this, a very good, actually happens to be a government scientist, and he and his government scientists have been studying this for over two decades. They have other things. I mean, they're government scientists, let's say, in the world of rocket science, but they, in their spare time, they've been studying election fraud since 1994. Their estimate is that Trump probably got 79 million votes and Biden got at the most 68 million. And then through chicanery, that got Trump's 79 became 74 and Biden's 68 became 80.
Okay. Now, you know, and I know that the cognoscenti, who are the cultural elites, not only say that this is not true, they say that even talking about it is to incite violent insurrection. Now, I just want to say parenthetically, it's despicable that anyone in America would say that. But that's what they're saying. You and I are trying to figure out what's going on. We care about our country. And even the hint that this is happening, much less proof, ought to spur every American to ask questions. So the implication that we should not talk about this is despicable. I want to say that as an American, it's despicable. Nobody should bow to that kind of thinking. Nonetheless, it's hard for you, who are in many ways a big deal. You've been having difficulty getting this message out. Even places like, I'm assuming, Fox News, they're not having you on to do an in-depth conversation about the most important thing happening in years. What do you think? What do you think of that? That you're not. In other words, this is not an essay that you wrote where you're blowing smoke. You've done the dive into the numbers and you think this at least deserves attention. Are you surprised that you're not being given a platform?
I'm not surprised. It is. I mean, in a way, it is surprising. My book was released 2 weeks ago. It hit number 17 on Amazon within 48 hours. No advertising, nothing. A self-published book. And then they've started suppressing it. They've made it harder to find. It still is number 30. And is not even out in print. Once it comes out in print, which is going to be Monday, you're going to be able to buy it in print. I expect it to go into the top 10.
Let me tell you, as an author whose book is about 5,000 right now, and it came out a month ago, and it's a very well-written book, I can just tell you that's extremely encouraging. But in order to get the message, because most people aren't going to buy the book and read the book, you know, you want to do interviews like this. And so my question is, have you been like soundly rebuffed or are people sort of making it just seem like they can't get to you right now because there are more important things than the death of the West?
Well, there are because so first on Fox, much more of the latter in general, although I'm used to it's been about a year and a half since I've been there's been a cone of silence over me around the mainstream press that was not Fox. But I've been on Fox in my life probably, it feels like 100 times in my life. I've also used to go on CNBC and MSNBC and CNN and such. But really, for the last 5 years, it was more just Fox. And Fox was dying to have me on, to tell you the truth, for a year and a half. A year and a half ago, I came forward with some information, some insider information about a certain thing to do with that Russian spy or not spy, depending on who you believe.
My friend Maria Bettina.
You're friends of her? Oh, I forgot.
My friend Maria. No, you forgot about this. Friend Maria Bettina, and I was, you know, involved in that in the sense of speaking with her when she was in jail and she went through hell. And so that's how originally I remember your name coming up, is that you were talking about this.
And since I've been public about this, I set her up and she went to prison for 18 months because I set her up on behalf of the FBI. The entire thing was rigged. And I came out a year and a half ago and said that to the public and went on Fox.
Now, let me just ask you, because I don't want to dwell on this too much. But when you say you set her up, in other words, you thought you were doing this as a patriotic American for the FBI.
Well, I thought I was doing this as a patriotic. I thought I was trying. Did you know her before she went to prison or just after?
Absolutely. I only knew her. I've not seen her since she went to prison. I've spoken with her on the phone.
Okay. But you did you know her before she was in prison?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know what she claimed to be representing a group of Russian liberals who were reaching out, liberals in our sense of liberals, philosophical liberals, reaching out, trying to make contact with American liberals. I was Milton Friedman's very close. Well, do you know about me, Milton Friedman and me?
I don't know about your relationship with Milton Friedman.
Do you know who Milton was?
I certainly do.
Okay. About a month before he died, Milton Friedman changed his will and named me his his successor as chairman of the Friedman Foundation. It was all supposed to dissolve at his death, but he had gotten to know me over the last decade of his life. And he and Rose made one last, they called me a month before he died. Said, we want to make a last change.
We're going to go. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to give me some money. Folks, don't go away. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. The new book is The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald J. Trump the White House. Okay, Patrick, I want to get back to talking about the election and the fraud, which is horrific. But let's just tie up the loose end we left with Maria Butina from a moment ago.
Okay, so I had had these things to do with Maria Butina and some other things. I came public I quit my job a year and a half ago so I could come public and it wouldn't destroy my company to come public and explain this whole Russia thing is a hoax. I was part of it, the whole Russia investigation, the Maria Butina thing, it was all a setup. Then I disappeared for a year and a half. Fox has been asking me, and I don't want to embarrass Fox, but let me tell you, BBC, CNN, everybody's been asking me for a year and a half, a year. When you're ready to tell the rest of the story, come to us, come to us, come to us. Last September or October, I let them know the rest of the story, and this cone of silence just came over me. And in particular, once I got into election fraud, I was informed that basically there's a cone of silence in the mainstream media. No one will have me on because they know what I'm going to say, not just about election fraud, but about some of that other stuff.
But about the rigging of the Russian collusion nonsense. Listen, most Americans know that there was no, more than most Americans, an overwhelming percentage of Americans know that there was no Russian collusion and all of that stuff was nonsense. The scandal is that we have not had justice in this, that the people who put this in place have not faced the music, and all of that is a scandal. And I actually believe they will face justice. But to get to this, was there a thing about Milton Friedman giving you zillions of dollars?
Oh. No, Milton Friedman asked me to succeed him, and to 99.9% of the world, that means nothing. But to about 0.1% of the world, it means a lot that Milton Friedman named me just before he died to sort of lead on in his name for 10 years. She is a liberal from Russia. It came and it was on that basis that she reached out to me.
Wait a minute. But you're talking about Maria Butina, correct?
Yeah,
right. Maria. When you say liberal, though, what you really mean is she's a conservative or a freedom loving person who comes from Russia, who loves freedom, right, who loves gun rights, who loves free speech. And in Russia, that makes you obviously trouble to the Putin regime.
Correct. Yeah, liberalism is a philosophical tradition that goes back arguably to the Hebrews and the Greeks and the Romans, up through the English and the Dutch, and reaches its apotheosis in the United States Constitution. So if you're a believer in the ideas of what made America great, you're actually a philosophical liberal. About 90 years ago, the socialists stole our word, but I'm reclaiming it.
This is something that's of huge interest to me, but let's put it aside because I want to get this. I want to get to this stuff that we're talking about just this minute later. I want to, for people who are like me, champing at the bit regarding the election. Now, many people would simply say, look, he's nuts. Patrick Byrne, he's ADD. He's got money. He does what he wants. So how do you assuage the concerns of those people to say, no, say what you want, but this is real and we need to deal with this? I mean, you've documented what you have in the book.
Yeah, I don't worry about people who think I'm nuts. You can read my resume and...
No, I know that. I know that. But I'm saying that there are people who automatically will dismiss you and me by talking about this. They say it's preposterous. There was no proof. I mean, let me just play, the role of devil's advocate for clarity's sake.
Tell them to buy my book. Buy my book.
I know that. And people need to know you don't need the money. So, but in the book... Or let me ask you, when somebody says to you, we're having a 5-minute conversation, and they say to you, there's no proof, there has been no proof, what's your response?
I'd say they're delusional. They're delusional.
No. What I'm saying is
they're living under a rock. They're living under a rock. My response would be this. The some of the biggest evidence is in the headlines, and people just aren't putting the things together. And it looks like this. You could ask any political scientist to explain this claim. To steal the United States, you don't really need to cheat, widespread cheat across the United States. You need to cheat in 6 places, narrow and deep. And there are 6 counties. They're really 6 cities. And those cities are Las Vegas, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Detroit, Philly, and Atlanta. Why? Because those 6 cities share a common feature. They are anchor cities of states that are swing states. So if you cheat like crazy in those cities, you don't have to cheat across the country, cheating crazy in those cities, steal big time in the cities, you can flip the states they're in, which flips the electoral college because they're swing states, which flips the nation. Thus, to steal the nation, you don't need widespread election fraud.
Okay. Now, 6 places. Some people know this. So here's what I have to ask you is that when somebody says there's no proof or no evidence, what they mean is people say this has come in front of these different courts and the Supreme Court, they haven't looked at this. What's your response to that?
Well, let me finish that other answer. The other answer is, given that those 6 cities, we all remember on November 4th, we woke up, or November 3rd, and vote counting was shut down in 6 places.
Right.
Those 6 places were Las Vegas,
all these places,
all the exact
automatically.
Places. So that's anybody who says they don't see anything is just
Patrick, I brought this up. That's to me the main thing. In other words, where there's smoke, there's fire, and you say, wait a minute, that's fishy, that's bizarre. So are you saying that the courts were unwilling to acknowledge that?
Oh, that's just the hors d'oeuvre. Then there's a 13 course meal of actual evidence. There's videos of people in exactly those 6 places doing the kinds of things that were taught that they would have to do in all those places. There's in Maricopa County, there's thousands of affidavits of that all add up to people seeing different parts of the scheme that we saw. Now, if you're saying, why have the courts not done anything?
That's what I'm saying.
There's this bromide that gets repeated. Oh, Sidney Powell filed 60 cases. They all got thrown out. Well, that's not true. I think Sidney filed 3 or 4. And, nothing was thrown out in any of those 60 cases having anything to do with judges looked at evidence. But most of those 60 cases were like low level cases around the country where people did not have standing to sue and people did not have. So the judges threw them out on procedural grounds. Nobody's looked at anything, including any of Sidney's four cases, where they actually looked at the mountains of evidence and made any sort of judgment. It's all this procedural lawyer stuff. But there have been 21 cases across America in the last 3 months that did make it to court regarding election fraud in different places. And 14 of those have been, the judges have found that, yes, there was, in fact, election fraud, culminating, incidentally, I have to mention, on 1 week or 6 days ago in Mississippi, a Democrat case between two Democrats who were in a primary last June, and there was mischief. And that case from last June got all the way through the court system until last week. A Democratic judge in Mississippi found that in last June's primary, 70 of the mail-in ballots that came in this area of Mississippi, 78% were fraudulent. So that was just last week. A Mississippi judge has found for the Mississippi June primaries, 78% of the
mail-in ballots. Right, but your average American is sitting back and thinking, if this is all true, where do we go from here? How is it possible that there's a man sitting in the White House, or I shouldn't say sitting, napping in the White House, who was not elected by the American people? This is a monumental scandal. There's no word really large enough for it. This is the crisis of the Republic in 250 years of our existence. How is it possible that we can be stuck here? Is there any way forward?
The word, I think the phrase you're looking for is world historic. This is a world historic crisis because, you know, the whole world, no matter what they say about us, everybody knows where liberty is protected. If the lights go out, if the candle goes out in the United States, we're Dunsky for 1,000 years. And let's see. I realized by about November 10th that this was an egg that could not be unscrambled. Normally, if there's election cheating, or I distinguish between voter fraud, which is where individuals cheat, and where election fraud, which is where the system itself is corrupt. We're in a situation, yeah, there were a lot of individuals who cheated and some dead guys voted. And that's not the main event. The main event is the systems were corrupted. There's no way to unscramble the egg. And I knew that by about November 10th. And most of the time in these kinds of cases, a judge can look at it and say, well, we got to pull out these 211 votes that should have been counted here. And these illegal votes came in. This is just an egg that you can't possibly unscramble, which is why I was arguing for the couple months I had a voice that what we need to do, what a court is going to need to do is those six states. Well, what they should have had is some kind of federal force go in, open up the ballot boxes. Remember, these systems were sold to us for years.
Oh, listen, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna go to another break here. So hang on, Patrick. Folks, I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. Folks, support our sponsor, Mike Lindell, by going to mypillow.com and mystore.com and using the code Eric. We'll be right back.
Make like a Mr. Meek and you'll get cut out.
Snow. Cement and ivory.
Folks, I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. The book is The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald J. Trump the White House. Patrick, you were just making the point about the Dominion machines. They have sued Mike Lindell, the sponsor of this, the main sponsor of my program. It seems staggering that we're at this point in
America. Yeah, I think Mike's going to end up owning them. I think Mike and Sidney are going to end up owning Dominion machines. I got to tell you, this is really.
You say that again, you know, people don't know you very well, but you say this, you've spent a lot of time with Mike and with Sidney. You're aware of what they have. What is Sidney's sense of what the future holds? In other words, to have the Supreme Court recently refused to look at her evidence. What is she thinking? If you can
well,
say.
No one speaks for Sidney Powell, but Sidney Powell, and we're not even sure about that. But I think it ain't over by a long shot. It ain't over by a long shot. And you know what the truth is of the matter? The critics have a, a bit of a point. You know, these cases that have been thrown out were all slapped together on partial knowledge in the days and weeks after an election such as we'd never experienced. And so people complain about the typography isn't right, or, you know, somebody got an abbreviation wrong or something. Yeah, we have now had the time to really deconstruct and to really gather the evidence. And it seems like every day more evidence is bubbling up. So I'm pretty confident that Sidney Powell's litigation days aren't over. And as a matter of fact, just this morning, Sidney was named one of the top five lawyers in the world. So now her litigation in this, I don't believe, is over. We're not going to let any cats out of the bag, but this isn't, this fight has just begun, in my view. And so what does it mean? You know, what the remedies are, suppose Sidney were to win, what the remedies are, it's too much to expect a court to ever overturn the election and say Donald Trump's the president. I don't think it's too much. It's too much to that a court could say either the ballot boxes in those states have to be opened and the paper looked at. And they sold us these machines saying there's always a paper ballot backup. If there were ever a time, now would be the time, a judge could order those opened. And if those get opened and recounted and, I think in a perfect world that there would be a court that ordered the election to be run again in those six states. I think that would be the best outcome.
Well, Patrick, what I don't understand is nothing could be more important. So how is it possible that judges have not ordered this? I think most Americans like me who aren't familiar with all the legal aspects and all the details, nonetheless, we simply believe that when something is this important, you cut corners, you do what's necessary for justice. And I don't mean cut corners, meaning go beyond the law, but it may be difficult for a judge to do these things. But if ever there were time to do the difficult thing, it would seem that this would be it. Why do you think none of these judges was willing to say, this is very important, let's look into this?
Well, if you're talking at the state level, the judges are about, it's very heavily politicized in the direction of Democrats. At the Supreme Court level, it is, they had everything they needed. Clarence Thomas's dissent was perfect. If they had everything they needed, if they wanted to take this case, the fact they couldn't get four votes is ridiculous. It could, so it's hard for me to understand that, but maybe the perfect case hasn't come along. The perfect case is going to come along in a way that I don't think they will be able to avoid taking it, especially more information is bubbling up all the time
right
now. You know, New Hampshire just is going to have voted 20 to nothing. I'm from New Hampshire. I'm so proud of this. You know, in New Hampshire, even the Democrats are honest, 20 to nothing. The Senate Election Committee or whatever voted to do a complete forensic audit on all of the ballots and Dominion machines in New Hampshire. We have stuff going on in Arizona, stuff going on in Michigan, a guy named Matt DiPerno. As these investigations and audits finally occur, of course, in Maricopa, they fought like crazy to prevent being audited. The same people who say, don't worry, these machines always have a paper ballot backup, we can always look at it, from November 4th, have been fighting tooth and nail against anyone looking at it. But in Maricopa, in Phoenix, the people fought, that you knew about the struggle with the Senate. It's finally happening. The Senate is going to get to look at everything. As that data starts bubbling up, there's going to be other states like New Hampshire, like Georgia, maybe, except Georgia is so corrupt. I'm not sure what it's going to take in Georgia. We actually have videos of people committing.
They're going to be hit by a meteor. Some of my prophetic friends have told me that if you live near the state house, you need to get out of that area.
Yeah. Well, so what's going to happen is other states, it's going to just become politically impossible for this to keep being buried, and other states will bubble up. And let me tell you, as they open their ballot boxes and as they start and as their hard drives get imaged and we crack the images and look, what we're going to find is anomaly after anomaly. The folks I'm working with are the folks who went up to Antrim County, Michigan. And when they finally got access to that machine, they're the guys who discovered that 68% of the votes had errors. I forget what they call them on it, but it looks like there was probably a adjudication rate of 68%. That means 68% of people, when you go in and vote and give your ballot, it's actually going into a different process where some people decide what you want
right
to vote.
Right.
And it really turns out the administrator has the ability anytime to come along and pick up like 200 votes and slot it to Biden. So all as that stuff keeps bubbling up in the months ahead, it'll get harder and harder for the courts to avoid it.
Well, we're going to go to another break. Folks, I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. This is an important conversation, and I hope you'll share this with anyone you can. I can't think of anything that's really more important than this, because so much hinges on it. The free world, not to get too crazy, but the free world hinges on what happens in the United States of America. No pressure. We'll be right back.
Who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Remember me, I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the show. My guest is Patrick Byrne. His new book is called The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald J. Trump the White House. Patrick, I want to say this again. You have looked for months in depth at what happened in this election. You are totally convinced that Trump won the election.
I have trouble believing it's an open question that everybody doesn't see this. It's so odd. And again, I'm not coming at this as a Trump supporter. I'm just a math guy.
Because people are told if you even mention this, you're evil.
No one's mentioned that to me yet, but maybe that's.
And yeah,
I'm the wrong people.
I have to say that, look, I was accused by a friend of having blood on my hands because I emceed the Jericho March. That's the last where I saw you in person. I was accused of having blood on my hands, that the Capitol riots, that whoever died there, that I was part of making that happen. So people are unhinged. They're hysterical. But some of us, by the grace of God, are trying to keep our heads and trying to say, what is important? What was I born for? To speak the truth. This is too important. Now, you.
But are your friends who say that, are they upset about the 700 cops who got injured by the Antifa riots over 9 months?
But isn't that the point?
33 who got killed.
Well, right.
Do we, that one?
You and I, that's in our minds.
It's turned out that other than the one woman that the cops shot for not really a good reason, as far as the video looks to me, that's the violent death that occurred at the January 6th riot. There was a cop who got killed that they initially reported his head had been bashed in with a fire extinguisher. That all turned out to be a lie, which his mother has come out and acknowledged it wasn't true. And the guy had a stroke. And then there were two cops who committed suicide in the days afterwards that they're trying to. But anyway, the real person who died of a violent attack on January 6th was a woman who was shot, a protester who was shot, appeared to me, pretty unnecessarily by a cop.
Yeah.
So
no. Listen, I know, and left. I have similarly asked questions that I've said, what happened that everyone pretends like they know what happened? And the more I look into it, the more I think it's entirely unclear what mm-hmm. happened. Let me tell you something. If I was able to get into the Capitol in that way and I wanted to hurt somebody, I would have been able to do that. Clearly, there were people capable of doing all kinds of things. They didn't do the things of which they're being accused. So this to me seems like gaslighting. It's like a Reichstag fire. We don't need to go into that. When you say that you're convinced that the election was fraudulent, you and I both know that in the United States of America, that will not go down well with we the people who elected Donald Trump. We say this is wrong. We need to make this right. And the people who were a party to this need to face judgment. I know they'll face eternal judgment, but I hope that I see them all in heaven. I'm just talking about, can we have clarity here on this planet while we're all together about who did what so that this never happens again? So my question to you is, when you say you have the facts and it looks to you like Donald Trump got 79 million votes and Biden got 68 million votes, Mike Lindell says exactly the same thing. He has the exact same numbers. What are you looking at that gives you that information?
Great point. There's really, think of this as like a cocktail with, they got mixed in the six states, but in each of those six states, they mixed the cocktail differently depending on local conditions. But there's the same kind of elements of from at the lowest level, you know, illegal immigrants voting and felons voting and dead people voting, moving up the chain. There's, you can feed blank ballots into the systems and they get, you can cheat in all these different ways. At the highest level, there's the international component where there were international actors who were engaged in conducting something called man in the middle attacks and doing vote flipping. And we have that data. We have now, I mean, it's taken a long time for our Dolphin speakers to get the packet, you know, to dig and dig and dig. But we, our source is this, actually the guy who's feeding, the guy on our team is the one who's talking to Mike and giving him that data. And we now believe somewhere between 2.1 million and 3 million votes were flipped by international actors just in the tabulation process. So there's ballot integrity issues where we know that in Georgia, they were printing counterfeit ballots were coming in to Georgia and being used. We see there was a lot of cheating in a lot of different places. And we have, I mean, these different narratives, they aren't just speculation. And in the case of a lot of these narratives, we have affidavits and texts and all the stuff. So I guess, I mean, we have records that establish all of this, and you will be seeing this in new cases that get filed by different people.
If Biden was not actually elected, again, the idea that we're not supposed to talk about this is despicable. And anybody
people
suggesting
actually
that,
say that I must be watching the wrong media.
Well, no, you have a life, and unfortunately, or fortunately, my part of my life is to hear these voices. But there are people saying that if you talk about this, listen, we will not post this conversation that I'm having with you on YouTube because they will immediately flag it and shut down my whole revenue stream on YouTube. They have done this innumerable times. Yesterday, they found a video from November, a conversation I had with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann about the election. They flagged it, and that was our third strike. So they knocked us off for 2 weeks, so we can't get revenue. So it's another reason for people to go to mystore.com and mypillow.com and use the code Eric. But I have to say that, in all seriousness, if I didn't know what to believe, in other words, if I wasn't really sure what happened, the behavior of people who are saying you cannot discuss this, if you discuss it, you're inciting violence, that's what tells me, aha, they're hiding something. You don't behave that way if the facts are on your side.
Especially so, given that in the, for the last 4.5 years, they declared there had been foreign interference in the 2016 election on what turned out to be a bunch of spurious facts and things that they had generated and engineered themselves, like the Steele dossier. So after for 4 years, they gummed this country up with false accusations based on no evidence. And now we have movies of this stuff happening, of people pulling out suitcases of ballots. And yet, you know, a week after the election, it became verboten to ever discuss something like this. The what's the word? Selective outrage. Selective outrage is so obvious.
We're gonna have to go to a break here. We're gonna drag you over into hour two. Ladies and gentlemen, please share this with anyone you can. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, I'm still in Dallas. Alvin, I'm still in Dallas. Look at me.
Look at you.
I'm ashamed. I'm still here in Dallas. No, we will be right back with my spectacular guest, Patrick Byrne. But before that, I'm going to be speaking in El Paso on Wednesday evening. Great church in El Paso. I'm so excited. Anybody wants to know about it, if you're in El Paso or know anybody near there who can get there, I will be there. I'll be signing books. I'll be doing the whole thing. Looking forward to it. And you have to go to my website. The schedule is there with all the details. You go to Eric Metaxas. That's my name. EricMetaxas.com. You don't have to say it out loud. You just have to type it. EricMetaxas.com. And the schedule is there. And I'm going to be in El Paso on Wednesday. I'm here in Dallas till then doing some stuff with Daystar TV and with The Blaze and some radio. But
I want to remind folks, we're doing a fundraiser with Food for the Poor. And today here we are. It is already middle way through the month. We're not doing that well, so we need your help. If you're thinking of giving, let me encourage you folks. Let's play this clip. I mean, this amazes me that kids in Honduras, this is what we're trying to raise money for. Kids in Honduras are starving. It's hard for us to fathom this. And, I don't know anybody in my world who's ever gone without food. My parents went without food during the war and after the war. And they told me these stories, which is why I know these things. This is real for some families. It's an amazing thing. So you can help out. Go to 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Let's play the clip because this just makes it a little bit real. Let's see if we got that.
When you see the hunger, when you see the need, you go out on the field, even if they haven't eaten for 1 or 2 days, it just makes us real, real sad. The more we do, the more we see the need. The more places we go, the more we find people starving. The more we see children are eating the leaves from the trees.
Look, we cannot imagine this stuff. This is, we're so spoiled. We're so blessed is what we are. We're blessed. So take some of that blessing and share it. Go to our website, which is metaxastalk.com, and you'll see a banner and you can give. $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. That's amazing. Food for the Poor is able to stretch America. Dollars. It's just an amazing thing that that little bit of money can feed a kid for 6 months. But Food for the Poor, they're amazing. They do great work. And that's why we work with them. Salem Radio, we've all worked with them. That's Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt and everybody. Now we've got Charlie Kirk and Sebastian Gorka, Dinesh D'Souza, the whole gang. We're doing what we can. But folks, we can't do anything except ask you to help out. So go to metaxastalk.com. If you'd rather phone, I know there's some wonderful people out there who'd rather phone. I'll give you the number, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. If you can give, now would be the time. We do need your help, 844-863-HOPE. The need is really great. In Honduras, as I think I've said earlier today, they've been devastated. I mean, they already live 60% of them below the poverty line, which is a stunning thing. But beyond that, they've had tropical storm and a hurricane. There's been flooding. So it's just been devastated. None of us really can imagine.
I'd also like to remind folks out there that if you give $10,000, and of course, we have people out there in the audience that have that kind of money, Eric will have dinner with you, which is a great thing.
And if you prefer not, then I won't have dinner with you. But either way, I would be delighted to spend an evening with you and as many folks as you want to bring, whatever it is. It's just my time. But we'd love that if you can do that. 844-863-HOPE, 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 or go to metaxastalk.com. Click on the banner. God bless you.